Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4 as we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. And as you know, we're in 1 Samuel on Wednesdays and just going through the Word of God. And Father, thank you that you loved us enough to give us your Word. Most importantly, you loved us enough to give us your Son. And Lord, we are so grateful for Jesus. We're so grateful for the Word of God that's all about him. Oh God, I pray for your anointing to teach your people. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to us today. Lord, that you will stir our hearts, that you will reveal the secrets of our hearts. So Lord, we can leave here saying truly, you are in this place today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 17, looking at verses 1 through 4. The title of this message is, It's Time to Talk. It's time to talk. Now we live in a time and a day where everyone is talking and sharing what's on their minds. Social media has given everyone a voice and a platform to share their ideas and thoughts. However, it seems like everyone else is talking except Christians. It has gotten so bad that whenever we say anything, we're called names. And it has gotten so bad that what we say from the Bible is called hate speech, which is now being protected by the law. And our precious book is now being called a hate book. It seems like everyone has come out of the closet and Christians have gone in. But it is time to talk and not be quiet. And this is the subject of these verses. Now, Paul and Silas had just left the city of Philippi, where they were arrested, beaten, and put in prison for preaching the gospel. However, while in prison, they led the Philippian jailer and his entire family to Jesus Christ. When they were finally released from prison in verse 39, they went to the house of Lydia, where the believers were gathered together. They encouraged them and departed according to verse 4. Now we continue to follow this team on their missionary journey. Look what it says there in verse 1. It says, now they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, leaving Luke, the author of Acts in Philippi, Paul, Silas, and Timothy traveled southwesterly along the Grecian coast on an important highway called the Ignatian Way. This was an important highway that extended from Rome all the way to the Orient. This verse says that while they passed through the city of Amphipolis, which was 30 miles from Philippi, and the city of Apollonia, which was 30 miles from Amphipolis, and they came to Thessalonica, which was approximately 40 miles from Apollonia. The end of this verse says where there was a synagogue of the Jews. It is this statement that it is believed that Paul and his team didn't do any ministry in the cities of Amphipolis and Apollonia because it didn't have a synagogue. Also, it is believed that they only spent the night in these cities. Now, Thessalonica was the capital of the most important city of Macedon. It had a population of 200,000 people. It was founded by either Philip of Macedon, who was the father of Alexander the Great, or by one of his generals, Cassander, and he named it after Alexander the Great's stepsister, and her name was Thessaloniki. In Paul's day, Thessalonica was a major port and important commercial center. known today as Thessaloniki, and it is still an important city in Rome. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. According to verse 2, Paul, it says, Paul, notice, as his custom was, went in to them. As I mentioned previously, a Jewish synagogue is established wherever there were 10 Jewish males living there. I want to bring to your attention the phrase, as his custom was. The Greek word for custom is etho, and it is a verb that means habit, manner, or custom. In other words, it was Paul's habit, his manner of life, or custom to go to the Jewish synagogue. Oh, this is where I pause and ask us to ponder our hearts. Is going to church to you your habit? Is it your manner of life? Is it your custom? Or is it optional if nothing else is going on? The synagogue was the place the Jews prayed and were taught the scriptures collectively. Oh, church is the same thing for us. However, is it optional or is it your habit? Is it only when you feel like it or is it your custom? Or do you only come to church when there's a crisis in your life or you need God to bail you out of some situation, then you show up? Oh, for Paul, it was his custom. It was his manner of life to go to the synagogue. There's been approximately maybe 5 times we had to cancel a service on a Sunday morning because of weather. You know, of course, some snow thing or whatever. I'm telling you, when I'm at home on a Sunday morning, I thought I backslid. I'm like, I'm supposed to be in church. I'm like, oh, this comes on TV in the morning? Oh, well, this one. I didn't know what to do with myself. I felt weird. For some of you to sit in here feels weird. For Paul, it was his custom. It was his manner of life to go to the synagogue. Well, we are given the time limit that he was there in Thessalonica. Verse 2 says that it was for 3 Sabbaths or for 3 weeks. Luke uses 3 words to describe Paul's ministry there. He, number 1, reasoned with them from the scriptures. The end of verse 2 says he was, number 2, explaining what the scriptures meant. And number 3, demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, verse 3 says. Let's look at these one at a time. Paul first reasoned with them from the scriptures. The Greek word for reason is dialogonomi, and it means to a discussion. It wasn't a sermon that he gave. It is where we get our English word dialogue from. Paul dialogued with them, which meant that he opened it up for question and answers, and they had a dialogue back and forth. Oh, parents, this is a word for us as well. We need to reason more with our kids like Paul did. Don't miss this next statement. Out of the scriptures. Not just telling them, do it because I said so, but telling them, do it because the scriptures tell us why. This is what we need to be doing, because see, you're letting them know that even mommy and daddy have to submit to the scriptures. We have to submit to the word of God, because if you just do this because I said so, they'll rebel against your laws and your rules. But see, when you say do it because the scriptures say so, then that lets them know mommy and daddy have to do it. You have to do it. And if you don't do it, you're in trouble. Not only with me, you're in trouble with God. That lets you, your children know that it is God and the scriptures that governs our home. And it's not mom and dad's little rules that they had when they were growing up. And then their parents taught them and their parents did it, and so on and so forth. You're letting them know that our home is governed by the scriptures. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give every man an answer to the reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear." The Greek word for answer is apologia. And it doesn't mean that we are apologizing for our faith. It means to give an answer or a defense for the Christian faith. It is the same Greek word that's used in Acts 22 verse 1 when Paul gave his defense to the Jewish Supreme Court called the Sanhedrin. The word defense there is apologia. This is what Paul did. And once again, this is a word for us as parents. We're told in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 to train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. We're told in Deuteronomy 6 and verses 4 through 9 to take every opportunity to teach our children the scriptures. Ephesians 6, 4, it says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the training of the Lord." Notice he says, "And you, fathers." Patris is that Greek word because it's plural. It can include mother and father, but it's specifically talking about the father should lead the way. And so often it's just the opposite in homes today. If there is any kind of Christian anything in the home today, is mommy tucking the kids in the bed, praying with them, or reading some little Bible story to them. But it says that fathers, we are the ones that should lead the way. It's not saying that the mothers can't, but we should be leading the way in the home to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Oh, this is a great word. I don't have to tell you how much Christianity is under attack, not only here in America, but especially around the world. Even laws are being passed now to silence Christians and to basically eradicate Christianity from our society. So the question is, can you give an apologia, a defense of the Christian faith? Oh, we want to help you with this in our school of apologetics, our question and answer services on Wednesday nights that we give sometimes throughout the summer. Through our foundations classes that we offer on Tuesday nights throughout the year. But here's the thing. When we offer these things, four people shall sign up, at the most six. And it's like, but if we call for a picnic at Newport News Park, we're giving out burgers and dogs and everybody is there. And many of y'all leaving with the aluminum foil up on top of the plate. Y'all taking some home. But here we trying to give you some tools to equip you to be able to give every man an apologia, a defense of the Christian faith, and you don't show up. I just wonder, where's the hunger for the things of God? We want to not only tell you what we believe, but why we believe it. And I'm like, where's the hunger for the things of God? Where's the hunger to want to give every man an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within you? And there's plenty of things coming against Christianity today. And can you give an answer? Can you give an answer? I mentioned it last service. Can you give an answer to the people who come against Christianity, who said that Christianity is the white man's religion? Can you give an answer to that? When I taught apologetics in our Bible college in California, the main thing out there and during that particular time, you're talking about 25 years ago, was Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Word Faith Movement, maybe just a tad bit of Black Muslim, just a little bit. When I moved here, and now 25 years later, there's still a little bit of Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, just a little bit. Now it's Black Muslims, Hebrew Israelites, 5 percenters, and all the kind of mess that's out there, and say Christianity is the white man's religion. Can you give an answer to that? Can you give an answer if they take you to Revelation 1, verses 14 and 15, say his hair was like wool and his feet the color of brass, and they say that showed you Jesus was a black man? Can you give an answer to that? And many of you can't. Many of you cannot. But if you've been with me for any length of time, when I was teaching in Revelation, you know how to answer that. Because I'm here to give you answers to that. But the average Joe who comes when that church is not your custom, you missed out on that. You missed out when I was teaching the Revelation. You missed out on apologetics classes and stuff. You missed out on that. And then when they come to you and show you that in Revelation 1:14, you know, wait, it does say that. His hair like wool. That's kind of like how my hair look now. Feet like bronze. That's like dark. That dark. Then who is that Malibu Jesus on my wall right there? Blonde hair, blue eyed surfer Jesus. Who's that? You know, and you don't know how to answer that. Oh, I'm just, can you give an answer? Oh, I got a couple minutes just let you know. Okay. This is free right here. Free apologetic 101 in 2 minutes. Here's the thing. We understand, as we have many teachers and educators out there, we understand similes and metaphors. It's using like or as to compare two objects. It says his hair was white like wool, color, not texture. His feet was as brass, as a simile metaphor used to compare, and not the color. Bronze in the Bible is a symbol of judgment. So it's not talking about a black man. It's talking about, and his eyes were like fire. So is it saying that he was bloodshot? Jesus was drunk? Well, is that what it said? No. Eyes of fire. His eyes of judgment. You got to understand what was being said there. It's not describing a black man, describing God and his attributes in that particular chapter of Revelation chapter 1. That was free right there. That's worth its price of admission for some of y'all. So Paul reasoned with them. He was also, number two, explaining, and number three, demonstrating. Explaining, the Greek word there is dionoigo, and it means to open thoroughly, to expound. This same Greek word is used in Luke 24 and verse 32, describing how Jesus opened, or dionoigo, the scriptures to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, can you open up the scriptures to your co-workers, to your neighbors? This is what we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. We open up the scriptures to you. This is why I give you the background, the setting. This is why I give you the year things were. So you can know why Paul said what he said to the believers in Corinth and why he said what he said to the believers in Galatia, the believers in Rome. What was going on in Rome to make Paul say that? What was going on in the city of Corinth to make Paul say that? This is why I bring those things out. This is why I give you Greek words, because we see it in English. And when you hear the Greek word, it is an expounded definition, and it opens up your understanding even further to what this verse is saying. This is why we give you in the Old Testament Hebrew words and stuff, so you can understand the mindset of the Jews at that time, because we think as Americans, that's all we know is Western mindset. We don't know the Jew in first century, and this is why I give you that understanding, so you'll be able to open up the scriptures to other people, to your children, to your neighbors and co-workers. I know I've done my job is when you can leave here and you can take this and open up the understanding of the scripture to those around you. I know I did my job. No longer. The days are over. Hey, how was church yesterday? Oh, church was good. What did you learn? I don't know, but it was good. No longer. That day is over. You're not coming here for that sort of song and dance and shuck and jive and a bunch of loud running around, fooling around. No, we're going to teach you the scriptures and expound it to you so you can understand. So you can take it. So I've done my job is when you can take this word and go and explain it to others. That's when I've done my job well. So, Paul was also, number three, demonstrating. The Greek word is paratithemi, and it means to bring something forward as a way of proof. In this case, Paul was bringing the Old Testament scriptures as a way of proof that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, verse 3 says. Oh, I'm sure he used passages like Psalm 22, Isaiah 53 to prove that Jesus the Messiah had to die. And Psalm 16 to show that Jesus the Messiah will rise again from the dead. So after reasoning and explaining and demonstrating from the scriptures, Paul said, you must conclude that this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. I believe that apologetics or giving a defense for the Christian faith is the great need in the church today. So the question is, can you reason, explain, and demonstrate from the scriptures to your friends that this Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world? If you said, hey, Jesus is the Savior of the world, why do you believe that? What you gonna say, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian? Cause Pastor Tony said so. No, that was a lie. You ain't saying that. Hopefully you've been here long enough to understand and why Jesus is the Savior of the world. Why did he need to come and die? What was the purpose of that? What was going on with mankind that he couldn't pull his own self up by his own bootstraps? Why did Jesus come and die? There's a reason for that. But can you give that reason? Can you explain to your coworkers? Yeah, I hear that Jesus is, I hear about Jesus, but what's so special about him? Why not Buddha? What's wrong with Muhammad? Confucius? What's wrong with them? Why can't they be right too? All right, you're on, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian. What are you going to say? We get taught. Okay, yes. I want to hear it. Can you give an answer? See, this is the burden of my heart, to be able to teach God's people how to give every man an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within you, to not only teach you what we believe, but why we believe that. That's my heart. This is why I will weave apologetics throughout my messages, because I want to be able to equip you to be able to give every man an answer, because it's not on the screen. Ephesians 4:11-12, it says, God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word equipping there, the Greek word is katatismos. Katatizo is his verb form. That word meant different things to different people. Katatismos to a doctor, the word in this original language means to bring back to its original order. Doctors will use katatizo to talk about to set a broken bone. You're bringing the bone back to its original order. Fishermen would use katatizo or katatismos to talk about to mend a torn net. A fisherman will always want his net together, wouldn't want it torn because fish can slip out and stuff. So they will mend they will use katatismos. Soldiers would use katatismos to equip soldiers for battle. And this is the form I'm using it in for you. I want to equip you for battle so you can wage a good warfare against those who come against Christianity. This is my job. This is what I'm passionate about. And if church is your custom, it is your manner of life, you're being equipped. And you're the ones that will leave here and be given an answer. And then guess what? As you're out there giving answers, the next thing you know, you're coming and you're like, hey, Pastor Tony, this is my coworker. Hey, Pastor Tony, this is my family member. This is my neighbor. Why? Because you're able to give them answers and they want to hear more. And you're the ones that's bringing folks. This is my girlfriend. This is my boyfriend. And they're coming. And because you're able to give every man an answer. Now, here's the thing. Yes, we can teach you and train you to reason from the scriptures, explain to your children and those around you that Jesus is the Christ, but don't miss this. But the greatest way of demonstrating which that word meant, remember, to bring something forward as a way of proof, the greatest way of demonstrating is a godly life. We can teach you how to talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. You can get equipped. You can be all about that life here and take your notes, have a notebook full. But you got to walk this thing when you get out of here. You got to walk the walk. And we have to walk as Jesus walked, as 1 John 2 verse 6 says. Wives, the way that you win your husbands to Christianity is not by preaching sermons to him only, but by living it out in front of him. Like 1 Peter 3 verses 1 and 2. Now here's the thing. You can go back or even turn right now and say, oh, what's 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 said? You can read that and say, well, how do I do that? That's what we're here to equip you to do. We equip you to help you to say, what does that mean? Because when we in 1 Peter, going through 1 Peter, we will get to chapter 3 and then we'll give you practical ways of what that looks like. Oh, I just love the teaching of the word of God. I'm telling you, this thing is good. Now, what was the result of Paul reasoning, explaining, and demonstrating? Verse 4. And some of them were persuaded, and a great number of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. Now, this response was typical for Paul everywhere he preached the gospel. Some of the Jews were persuaded. A great number of the devout Greeks, or people like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, who embraced the God of Judaism and then heard the gospel and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And a third group, not a few of the leading women. What does that mean? The Greek word for leading is proton, and it means first or chief or most important. These were the influential women in the upper class of society. All of these were ones who responded to the gospel message by Paul. Now, this is what this shows us. This shows us not only, or we'll put it this way, not everyone will respond favorably to the gospel message. Notice it said some of the Jews. This blew me away. When I first got saved, the Lord saved me. He saved me from my sin. He saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. And I wanted to tell others about it. I was saved from hell itself. And so when he saved me, he changed me and began to change my language, change the way I walk, change the way I talk, change the way I did things. He changed me. So when I told others and others didn't respond to the gospel, I said, what's wrong with you? Who don't want to be saved from hell? You kidding me? What's wrong with you? And so I didn't, but I had to understand, not everyone will respond favorably to the gospel message. And so when you share it with people and they go, get out of here with that stuff, I don't want that. You know, I used to be offended by that. I said, what's wrong with you? You rejected my Jesus, the one that saved me. What's wrong with you? Then bust hell wide open then, you know. But that's when I was younger in the Lord. I was young. I was... And so, and, you know, so not everyone will respond favorably to the gospel. It also shows that the gospel message doesn't discriminate. It is for everyone, racially, Jews and Greeks, gender, men and women, nor does the gospel discriminate according to social economic status. Hey, some of the leading or influential women were also believers that followed Paul and his team. Now, we saw that some of the Jews believe. What about the rest of them? Well, you got to wait until next week. We got the rest of them. They're going to kick up some dust, boy. And we're going to see that God's will next week. Now, let me conclude with this. As we can see from these verses and in our time, it's time to talk. It's time for us to be reasoning, to be explaining, and demonstrating from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Demonstrating mostly from our lives to our families first and then to those around us. And maybe you're here and you have been reasoning and explaining, but have not been demonstrating very well through your life. Come for prayer and ask God to help you to be a more effective witness to those around you. Or maybe you're here and you don't know how to reason nor explain, let alone demonstrate. Come and talk to someone, get some prayer, because maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're not born again. And that's why you're not reasoning and demonstrating. Or maybe you're not born again, but you can. You can leave here born again. And finally, maybe you're here and you've been timid to talk to people. You've heard if you mention that name of Jesus, you're going to be in all kinds of trouble. And therefore, it has caused a zipper to come over your mouth and you have not been speaking. And you need to come and get a fresh anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Here's some verses that's not on the screen. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come up upon you and you shall be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Dunamis is that Greek word for, you shall receive power. Dunamis, that dynamic power that's needed. You need for the Spirit of God to come upon you. Acts 4:31, they were filled with the Spirit of God and they spoke the word with boldness. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And you need to come and ask God to fill you fresh with this Spirit. Luke 11:13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's yours for the asking. There's going to be some people to pray with you about these things. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you will fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Empower us to be witnesses for you, to be able to give every man an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within us. Oh, God, help us, we pray. Oh, Lord, I pray for those who are here who may not have repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Your word said that they believed you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. They confess that with their mouth. The word of God said that they shall be saved. Saved now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.